the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. On the third, Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me, and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Amen. Oh my, what a friend, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord that we can call Jesus our friend this evening. It's good to see you, one and all. Trust you had a good afternoon. Got a little bit of rest in, some of you hopefully. It is a blessing to see Miss Beth sitting back there. Where I saw the Vaught's van pull in, and when they went past, I said, oh, my, Beth's in there. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for just her feeling well enough to want to be in church tonight. And so please continue to pray for her. And, of course, part one is complete. And another surgery here in a month or so, whenever they deem it's ready. So please continue to pray for her about that. And, again, it's good to see you all. And I know there was a couple couple ladies that said they might not be back tonight if it stormed. And so my prayers were answered. It isn't storming. And so I don't know what they'll do if it starts in the middle of the service. I guess they'll just have to stay here. We'll get them a pillow and a blanket. Well, it's good to be back tonight. Let's take a moment and shake each other's hand and welcome each other.
All righty, if you would, grab a hymn book again. Let's turn to 365. 365. Sing with me.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. The universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Sing the last.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
All right, 468.
Without him I could do nothing. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, I would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, do you know him today? You can't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Amen. be seated.
All right, gentlemen, come on down. Get ready to receive this evening's offering and go over a few announcements while we're here. Ladies are invited Tuesday at 7 p.m. Classroom's class to Ladies Fellowship. Bring their favorite snacks, whatever the snacks might be. That's always room for interpretation, I suppose, on that, because Teresa always comes back and tells me all the so-called snacks that's there. Some of them are full-fledged meals, I think. So I know we like to eat around here because this Thursday, 11 o'clock, the Metro Saints, we're going to meet for the second time. Choop. Whatever choop is. I think it's the cross between chili and soup and all the fixings. So I'm looking forward to that. And as Brother Turner mentioned earlier this morning, Teresa has a lawyer friend that she's acquainted with, that she's going to be there to answer any sort of legal questions concerning elder law and wills, all sorts of stuff concerning that. Okay, she's well versed in it. And I'll give you a hint: if you come with questions in hand, instead of her just kind of searching, grasping out of thin air, trying to figure out what you want to know, have a question in hand, and let her answer those questions for you. And anyway, she's a good friend of Teresa's, and she's known her for several years. So, ladies' ministries, Miss Marcia is tweaking that, and has tweaked that. So, if you'd like to be a part of the weekly visitation, please see her on that. And we do still need some ushers and greeters to see Ronnie Stevens and Brother Jacob. Ronnie, did you get anybody this morning come to you and say, hey, I want to help? No, did you have anybody this morning come and say, I need to help? I want to help? Oh, come on now. Brother Ronnie needs some help back there with the usher part. And we're training up and early here, but on Sunday morning we still need some help. And guys, hey, when you go down through there, pass the plate. Don't just sit there and hold it. Pass the plate down there, okay? You gotta let go of that thing, And if it looks like it's a little shy on a thick row, pass it twice. No, just joking. We do need some greeters help, folks. We could really use some help in the choir also. And this morning sounded wonderful, and it would sound even better with more folks up there. Right. I want to say thank you for the generous generosity of y'all for the Valentine's banquet. Like I said, it didn't turn out to be, started off to be a youth fundraiser, but kind of ended up being that way. And hey, because of y'all's generosity, the down payment for the camp is paid for, $25 down payment for everybody. And I will say thank you. And if these young folks have not said thank you yet, walk by, thump on the back of the head and say, what are you supposed to tell me? Because I told them all this morning to say thank you. So, anywho, Carter, did you get somebody this morning? Oh, you forgot, didn't you? Drew, did you find somebody? Oh, yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, I had a lot of folks saying how well they did at serving, but I can't take that. That's parents' job. Y'all did wonderful at training them. So, thank y'all, parents. So with that being said, let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, in your salvation. Lord, thank you, as we learned this morning, put its foundation in you, Lord. Our house won't fall. Thank you. Lord, I'm asking right now to be at the gift and the giver. Lord, please, in just a moment, be at the preacher as he comes. Lord, you give him the words you want him to say. Hide us behind the heart. Hide him behind the cross. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Thank you for everything again. Love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
when I need to remember something, I hold on to my pen, and it's supposed to remind me to remind you about something. And the important thing is that I remember what I'm supposed to remind you of. And this evening, I do remember two things. Number one, the Tom and Crinny G'day were on their way back from Louisiana, southern Louisiana, and weren't able to make it back for service this evening. So please continue to pray for them as they make their way in. As Tom's brother had a heart procedure on Friday where they put a stent in place. And as we've been praying for him, it seems he's doing some better. But also, Sister Renee had told me just before the service, just before it came back to the platform, in fact, that S.M. Davis, if you remember S.M. Davis, preaches, his ministry is focused on family issues and matters. He preaches all over the country in that. And he has been diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. So please pray for S.M. Davis, a tremendous preacher and a tremendous advocate for the family as well. And I think that's it. You'll be turning this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We tried to lay out this morning how important it is to have the right foundation for life, and showing that from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, the tremendous foundation that is ours in Christ. That He is indeed a right foundation, a great foundation for us to build upon. And having that right foundation is extremely, even eternally important. No question. As we've already said, that right foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what are we that are on that foundation to do with it? What are we to do with that foundation? Well, the question should be, obviously, what do you do with a foundation? Well, you build on a foundation. We're to build on it. But what are we to build? And a second question, how are we to build on that foundation? Good questions. And hopefully, as we look into the Word of God this evening, we might find some good answers for that. If you found your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Begin reading in verse 9, kind of breaking into the passage there, but we'll look at a little bit ahead of that along the way. But begin to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Paul declaring to that church there in Corinth, he says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Again, Paul using two illustrations there, both the agriculture in the illustration, but also the illustration of a building. And indeed, he says, "Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Father, once again this evening, I'm thankful to be here in this church house. I'm thankful to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the household of faith. Thank you, Father, for what you have established here upon your Son, our foundation, the Lord Jesus. And so this evening, Father, we just want to learn. We want to grow in our understanding of just how to build on the foundation that you've given to us in your Son. And again, we'll give you the glory for every bit of it. We'll give you the honor that you so rightly deserve. For it is in Jesus' name. And for His honor and glory, we do pray. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. Building on the right foundation. Might we say it this way? Building right upon the right foundation. If you're saved, you have the right foundation. But therein, we also need to build right upon that foundation. It's a fascinating passage that we've just read. It's fascinated me through the years. And it's one of those passages that kind of twists you up a little bit trying to understand it. It describes a time that for some will be a tremendous celebration, to say the least. But for others, it will be a heartbreaking time, as we read there in verses 15. It's essential, my brothers and sisters, to build upon the right foundation. And as that's been laid out for us both this morning, but again, in this passage this evening, it's also very important how you build upon that foundation. In this morning, we looked in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6 and those verses 46 through 49. And it tells us that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is that rock. He is the foundation upon which we are to build and from which we serve. And in this passage this evening, it affirms for us again very clearly. Verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the one and the only foundation that we should seek to build our lives upon." And again, it's interesting. Apostle Paul says, you can't put down another foundation. Again, some may try, right? As we looked at this morning. There's other foundations that folks may attempt to build their lives upon, but they all fall apart. And that's essentially the point Paul's making. You can't have, there is no other foundation. There is no other trustworthy foundation to build upon. The building materials that God uses are another interesting note. Let's just look at a couple places in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at that this morning. But in Ephesians chapter 2, and we read in verse 19, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." We tried to see that this morning, that He is indeed that stone from which the entire building is built from. All the dimensions, all the aspects of that building are taken from that cornerstone that is laid. And of course, Paul wants us to have it clear that Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. In verse 21, it says, "In whom," we're speaking of Christ, "all the building fitly framed together." I like the way that's worded. The idea is that each piece is put together just exactly right. Fitly framed together. Going on, "groweth unto a holy temple of the Lord, in whom," again in Christ, "ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Christ liveth in me." Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. We're His habitation, and He is our habitation. But indeed, beyond that, as we saw this morning, He's our habitation individually, but He's also our habitation corporately. This house, this church, built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you would, look also over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh my, where do you break into one of these beautiful passages like this? Verse 2, it says in 1 Peter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know, is that what he's talking about this morning? The great, tremendous Word of God. Finding our satisfaction in that. And it's the thing about the Scriptures. The more you get of it, the more you want. The more you understand, the more you realize you need to understand. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Is He not gracious, beloved? To whom, verse 4, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, look at this, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. I like that passage. What's the building materials of this spiritual household? You and I. We're those lively or living stones that are placed and set upon the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there in that passage, we see that we are the very building stones of this household of faith. But we need to understand that it's important to be careful as to how we build. Be careful how we build. Verse 10 says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let him take heed how he buildeth thereon. Again, what's all that mean? How we go about building on the Lord's foundation is important. Let me ask you, would you think it's important to God how we build on His foundation, right? It's not my foundation. It's His foundation. It's the foundation He has established. Jesus is what? The chief cornerstone that He has laid. And do you think it matters to God how we build on His foundation? I would think so, don't you? Do you think it's okay with the Lord if we try to go cheap on how we build on His foundation? Now, I'm tight. As I was sharing with the home builders class last night, I like to get as big a bang for my buck as I can. But I don't think you can go cheap when you start building for the Lord and the things of God and the things that go along with serving Him. Do you think it's okay with our God for us to cut corners or careless how we build for Him? I think it's important to Him. You know, along the way, before we left Pennsylvania, I was working for a contract. Worked actually for two different contractors. And the first contractor, it was interesting. He built homes, and he was considered the premier builder in the county. And I had the pleasure, had the honor to work with him. He was a Christian man, and it was interesting when he would come out to the job site, and there was the lead carpenter, and I was more or less his gopher, and whatever he told me to do, I did it. But when the boss would come out to the job site, and we'd have a question for him, how would you like us to handle this or do with that? His answer was always, do whatever it takes to make it right. Whatever it takes to make the job right, do it. Well, along the way, it got into wintertime, and his work slowed down, and so I had to find employment elsewhere. So I got on with another fella, and he did mostly commercial work. He'd worked in malls and building stores and things like that. And working for him, let me just say, it was a bit different. When we would ask him how he wanted us to do this, or how should we finish this off, boss, and his answer was always, that's good enough. That'll work. That'll be okay. It was a different world. It was a different world. With the one, whatever it took to make it right, you do that. With the other boss, that's good enough. Don't worry about it. He didn't mind a bit cutting corners. and going on the cheap. Well, guess who had the better reputation for a builder? And that's one, just a little side thing. That's why the second man did commercial work. Because homeowners normally wouldn't put up with somebody cutting corners. They're going to be watching and seeing what they're doing, right? Well, that's another story too. But the Lord doesn't want us to go cheap. On how we live for Him and how we build on this foundation that He's laid. You know, just the same as if you're going to build a house or you're going to build any building, you have to obey the local building codes and all that go with that. There's things that you have to abide, how you wire, how the plumbing, you know, all the way along. It has to meet the building codes of the county or the state or whatever the applicable laws are. Well, beloved, should we think it's any different with the Lord? He has given us the guidelines and principles for building for Him. They're right here, as we talked about this morning. What is it? What is it that we're building for the Lord? Well, in the context of these passages, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's talking about in this chapter how we conduct ourselves in this Christian life. Read with me in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren," he's talking to believers, fellow Christians, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ." He says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" What was Paul's concern? He was concerned. The concern was the fleshly way in which, hey, the members of the church of Corinth was conducting themselves. It was a concern to him. He was concerned about how they were building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the very God that had saved them. There was a lack, beloved, of maturity in this church. Oh my, as you go on in the passage, you find that they're fussing about this and envying each other on different things. In verse 4 it says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" He's saying you're following men. It's of the flesh when you do such things. "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos?" Verse 5. "But ministers are servants by whom ye believe." Paul or Apollos, neither one would have wanted such a thing. They saw themselves as just there to proclaim Christ and praise God for those that were saved. Paul goes on to say in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And he goes on in verse 7, and essentially I'll paraphrase. He says, it's not about us, it's about Christ. Once he says, "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth." He's saying, it's not about me or Apollos, it's not about you, but about God that giveth the increase. Again, Paul's concern was how they were building, upon this foundation. So we need to be certain how you, be mindful of this, be certain that how you build will one day be revealed. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering indeed. In verses 12 and 13, it says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest." Now the idea of the word work there is, it's the idea of the result of our effort. I'm trying to say this, and so I don't want to sound fleshly, but it's what we're producing as Christians. The fruit of our life. The fruit of our life. "If any man's work shall be made," every man's work shall be made manifest, to be revealed. "For the day Now again, I thought, man, I wonder what day is Paul talking about? Well, it seems that it can be no other day but the day of Christ, when all of us will stand before Him and give account, as we see here, for what we did in building upon that foundation. He goes on, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. That word revealed is the verb form of the word revelation. Apocalypto is the translation of the name of the book, the revelation. And what does it mean? That one, the day will come when everything is laid bare. My life, your life will be laid bare, revealed. And indeed, what Paul's talking about is how we build on this foundation that has been laid. He says, revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. That's a key word in the passage. Of what sort it is. It has to do with the quality of our work. The sort or the manner of our work. Well, the way many Christians live, you'd get the idea that it just doesn't matter how you build. Doesn't matter how you build and how you use your life and your testimony. But it's obvious as we read this passage, that it's very important to the Lord. Beloved, it is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, to our God, how we use His foundation, how we build on Him. The apostle makes this point by comparing building materials here, doesn't he? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Stubble would just be chaff. The chaff. Now, let me say this. Very important. There's not a believer on this earth planet that doesn't have a mixture of these building materials. You follow me? There's not a one of us that can claim that we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones, and that there's not any wood, hay, or stubble mixed in there. Huh? Just so we're clear on that. To some measure, all of us have, let's just say it this way, it's a mixed bag, folks. Huh? But what should be our desire? The longing of our heart, the prayer of our very being should be that we would be focused more and more upon the quality of our building. And indeed, that it would be that gold, silver, and precious stones as much as we'd be enabled to do. Wow. We understand that Paul wants us to know that there's coming a day of reckoning, a day when the quality of our labor for Christ will be examined. It's a sobering thing to me. I don't know about you. That sobers me. When the smoke clears of our life, the question is, what will be left? That's a toughie, isn't it? What will be left? So we need to be careful. Be careful that how... Let me say it right. Be careful that how you build will remain. Listen again to verse 14. If any man's work, the effort of his life, abide. What's that mean? If it remains, if it continues. If the work of any man's life abide, which he hath built thereupon, upon what? The foundation, which is Christ. He shall receive a reward. We should be building in lieu or in sight of the reward that's ours in Christ. Are we building for eternity? Are we building for eternity? How long will what we build our lives on remain? How long? What we build our lives out of will remain. Are we building anything of substance for Christ? Again, you can tell I'm asking more questions than answering. Because you have to answer and I have to answer for myself here. What will remain? The Apostle Paul tells us that our lives, that work, will be put to the fire one day. It'll be put to the fire. It'll be put to the test of fire. Now, we could examine it and we could maybe come up with some other things, but I see two things that fire does, for sure. Fire will refine or it will reduce. It can refine or it can reduce. Now, the gold, silver is what? Refined by fire. But what about the wood, hay, and stubble? It's reduced, is it not? It's reduced to ashes. Big question for me. Big question for all of us. What's the fire going to leave? What's this test of fire that'll be going to be applied? What's it going to leave? Will our labor, will our work, our effort be worthy of reward? You know, I fought with myself. I looked up that word reward and I struggle with this, but I can't deny what the word means. The word refers to wages. I thought, come on, that can't be right. I looked it up again in another dictionary. Guess what it said? Wages. What we earn. Now again, be mindful, and it makes sense here. We understand on the BC side of this thing, before Christ, before we were saved, we understand what our wages were, right? The wages of sin is death. So the wages, the reward of living for Christ is what we're looking for now. Now again, we understand, we walk by faith, right? We live this Christian life by faith. Every step we take is by faith. But we also walk and live in the grace of God. God's goodness to us. His unmerited favor as we would define it. What we receive of Him that we surely do not deserve. His grace. But also, beloved, I'm accountable. Both these truths are laid out for us in the Scriptures. Over and over and over again, we receive these challenges from the lips of the New Testament writers concerning how we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize, I was saved by grace through faith, but I'm accountable to live right for Him. Both things are true, beloved. Both things are true. Well, verse 15, we see that we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned, and I'll say it this way, I think we get the picture. That sloppy building will be burned. Sloppy building will be burned. If any man's work shall be burned, the word means to be consumed. Consumed. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What a scene before us. What a scene before us here. Be mindful. This isn't talking about a lost person. It's talking about a saved person. Paul makes that very clear, doesn't he? He's talking about a saved person. You know, I've read this verse so many times through the years in these passages, and I've always pictured, now again, this is the way my crazy brain works, but I've always pictured an individual standing there before the Lord with nothing but the ashes of his life laying before him. What a sad scene. Standing there with nothing but the ashes of his life before him. Be mindful. Again, this is a saved person that's being talked about. That one, beloved, and says they'll suffer loss. Loss. Not judgment for us. He will be saved, it says, yet so was before. What, you know, I don't know how to describe this. He'll be saved. He'll be saved. Period. Period. Certainly better than being lost. But shouldn't we desire so much more? Shouldn't it be our heart's desire? Wow. It's a saved person. It's come to the time he stands before the Lord to give account for what he's done with the life. Now listen to me. You and I have been given so much. Remember the parable of the talents that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. We've been given, every one of us in this room tonight that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior has been gifted of God by His grace. We've been gifted and given that which we can use for His glory to serve Him. Are we doing it? Is the question. Are we serving? Are we building upon that tremendous foundation, that beautiful chief cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we building something of eternal value upon Him? Wow. The old truism, I guess that's what we would call this. The old truism would never be truer than on that day when that individual stands before the Lord. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Huh? Yeah. Those words come from a poem that was written by a missionary. Missionary C.T. Studd. Charles Thomas Studd. His words, indeed, these words, let me read them again. You've heard them a thousand times. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Really boiled down to the theme of this man's life. Now, obviously, C.T. Studd was not always a missionary. He came from a wealthy family in England. His father became very wealthy as a plantation owner in India. He returned back to England as a very rich man and determined he was going to live out his days enjoying his wealth. God was pleased to intervene. C.T. Studd's father was saved at a Moody Sankey revival meeting in England. Mr. Studd was very concerned about his sons and invited a preacher to come and stay with them for a few days. And the preacher took time with each of Mr. Studd's children, his sons. And of course, they were young, you know, late teens at the time, and they didn't want anything to do with that preacher. This was all new in their household. So they did their best to avoid him. It did work out along the way there that C.T. Studd had made a profession of faith, but went on to live for the devil for quite a while. Well, C.T. Studd and his brothers, all three of his brothers, were tremendous cricket players. Don't even ask me what that is. I don't have a clue how you play that game. I try to watch them a little bit, and I think, nah, it's not worth it. I'm ready for the Rangers to start playing again. Real baseball. Well, all three brothers were tremendous cricket players, and C.T. Studd ended up playing on the England's team. They played Australia for the championship, and they lost. But he kept playing and ended up regaining the crown, and the whole story goes on. He's from a wealthy family. He's a noted, got a lot of notoriety in England. Plays on the national cricket team. Everybody looks to him. But along the way, God had a plan for him too. C.T. Studd got saved. Or let me say, had another encounter with the Lord. Went to Bible school. And he surrendered. He was in a. He and some of his friends were in a meeting for missions. And I don't know if Hudson Taylor was the speaker that night, but C.T. Studd was the first of what became known as the Cambridge Seven to surrender to go to China and work with Hudson Taylor. C.T. Studd ended up in China for a number of years. Married his dear wife there. Returned to England for a while. And from England they went back to India. He wanted to go back to that land where he had grown up. He went there and pastored an English church in India. And saw his ministry blessed in tremendous ways. He went back to England again. But God wouldn't let him alone. This time God burdened his heart for Africa. And he went to the Congo. Notice that. Couldn't get away. Served the Lord in China, in India, and the Congo. Died in 1931. Wow. Quite a life. Quite a life indeed. What part of his life do you think he valued the most? Listen to this. But before I give you this quote. When he turned 25 years old, he was to receive his inheritance. He was in, I believe, China at the time. Yeah, it would have been in China. He got word that he was to receive a pretty sizable inheritance. But before he even saw a dime of it, he started giving it all away. He gave thousands of pounds to George Mueller's orphanages, gave it to other Christian missions and different causes for Christ. He met his wife and married, and what he had left, he gave to her. Was some 30-some hundred pounds at the time. Would have been a good bit of money still. Well, she didn't want to be outdone by him. She said, well, we need to give this away too. They gave away everything they had. But continued to serve Christ for decades. The question again, what do you think was the most important thing in his life? What do you think he valued the most? Well, here's a hint. I read this and I thought, wow, what a statement. He wrote this of his missions work. He says, some want to live within the sound of a church or the chapel bell. He says, I want to run a rescue shop within a hell. I love that. What's his meaning? He says, I want to be where I can reach as many as I can before they perish. Wow. What a statement, huh? What a life. What a life that the Studs built upon that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do want to say this. We realize when that day comes, the day when we give account for how we used our lives for Christ, that the evaluation won't be how I might evaluate it. The evaluation of what we've done supposedly won't be what you would value. It'll be up to God's estimation. As He values the life that we've built for Him. Man, I'm convinced. I'm convinced there'll be some dear saints of God, some dear little old ladies that have been prayer warriors. They'll be so close to the throne of God, I won't even be able to get a look at them. We leave those things with the Lord. The important thing, might our prayer be to be used for God's glory? Might our prayer be that we would be used for God's glory? We say those words often, do we not? I just want to be used for the Lord. I want to give God glory. But do we want to be used for God's glory? Because when we come to grips with that, what we're saying is, God, you use me the way you want to use me. You determine, Lord, what my place and my part will be in this thing. And then we just might be ready to be used for His glory. Well, what have we built? Have we built our lives upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? We built on Him. You know, as we've tried to put this all together today, I'm thankful that it's never too late to get on the right foundation. It's never too late to start right with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the question for every one of us that are saved, how are we building upon that foundation? How are we building upon Christ? I thought about this. When the match of the truth is held to what you and I have built our lives upon, what's going to be left? Searching, isn't it? It's a searching question. I'm glad I don't have to answer it. But I want to live, now beloved, I want to live in light of that. I want to live with the truth of that on my heart. To live, as we said, for God's glory. Period. Whatever He would see fit to use us for. Let's stand together. Our Father, bow before You this evening and I'm thankful for Your Word. Lord, I'm so thankful that You described so beautifully to us this tremendous foundation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for the day that You worked in our heart and drew us savingly to Yourself, and we were placed upon that foundation. Lord, I don't understand how all that comes together in reality, but I'm sure thankful for what You do. And Lord, this evening, I'm praying for Jim Turner. I'm praying for every one of us present this evening that claims the name of Jesus Christ for ourselves. Lord, I'm asking, know our hearts tonight. Know our hearts. Father, I'm praying. Oh God, I'm praying that You would be doing that refining process in us now. Help us, Father, to deal with the dross that may be present. Help us, Father, to use Your divine ladle of the truth to skim away those things that just do not belong. Father, I pray as well, oh my, that the light of Your Word as it shines in our hearts would be that light to help us. Help us to determine to live our lives for no glory, but for Your glory, for Your honor, and for Your praise. Lord, I thank You for every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room. I'm praying, Father, for Your blessing upon every life, upon every heart, every soul, every father, every mother, every young person, every child. Oh God, please, I'm asking You that even in these days You would raise up servants for Your glory. Servants that would live in such a way to build for eternal things. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing, beautiful love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 284.
As we sing, beloved, of course the altars are open, as always. Do what the Lord would have you to do. My prayer is whether you get in this altar or not, that the Lord would tender our hearts. What would the Lord do with us if we were truly surrendered to Him? What could Christ do with a church family like this one here tonight that desired Him and His glory and His honor more than anything? That He be magnified, that when folks see you and see me, they'd see Jesus. They'd see Him and what He's done in our lives. See that difference. That indeed we would be those living stones. Living stones. Resting upon Jesus. As we sing, may the Lord speak to our heart.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. World of toil and snares. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Safely o'er to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's kind of a that passage of Scripture. I don't know if I've probably preached on it before somewhere along the way, but what a powerful passage.
Amen.
It's that kind of passage that kind of strikes us, doesn't it? Should anyway. Should anyway. Sober us. Understanding that it's important, beloved. It's important how we build, how we live for Christ. We will give account. Wow. Amen. I'm thankful I'm saved. I think of that one. Isn't that something? Stand there with the eight, nothing but a pile of ashes. But indeed, it's better to be saved than lost. Indeed. Amen. Brother John.
Let's sing our chorus, I Love Him.
I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
You're dismissed.